Okay, Joshua chapter 1 this morning is where we will begin. You say, well, that doesn't have any, Joshua chapter 1 doesn't have to do anything with a mother. Well, I'll be honest with you, the whole Word of God has everything to do with mothers and fathers and children and every one of us. So the Word of God is going to speak for itself this morning. And I want to encourage you there in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to talk about a special mother. Well, there's not any necessarily any specific mother in the Bible that we're going to focus on specifically, but entitled this A Special Mother because we're going to do once again, we've probably done things like that before, maybe even very recently, but we're going to take the word mother, and I'm going to give you some of the things that mothers do and share with you some of the things that mothers do biblically that we can see in the Word of God. And maybe you say, I'm a mother, and I'm not doing this. It's something that maybe that you can really apply to your life. And you maybe be able to say also that maybe I'm a mother and I am doing this. And that's a wonderful thing. Most of these are positive things, but there are things about motherhood that are not positive. Wish I could tell you everything was positive about being a mom, but there are sometimes that things are not very positive. And sometimes things are not very encouraging and uplifting. Just a few weeks ago, we had 5 out of 7 of our children sick with a stomach virus at the same time. Mom carried most of that load, you know, and that's tough. There are difficult times in motherhood. So we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that mothers deal with. Yet most of it, we're going to talk about positive things. And you'd say, the men are probably ready to go to sleep. And then I usually say this for our Father's Day service and our Mother's Day services. This isn't just about mothers. We're just happen to be talking specifically to mothers today and about mothers, but yet every one of these points are things that men deal with as well, and they're also things that teenagers deal with and eventually will have to deal with if you become a parent or a father or a mother. And so I want to encourage you with this and I hope to be a blessing this morning as we look here in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 happens to be one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. In fact, verse 8 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it is that verse, and we've talked about it many times. I've preached out of Joshua many times, and I'm sure that I'll preach many, many more times if the Lord tarries his coming and continues to allow me to preach the Word of God. I love chapter 8 because it talks about success, the only time in the Word of God that the Bible ever mentions the word success. Everybody here in this life that we seem to intend to live in the day and age we live today, is concerned about success. And the world's viewpoint we know of success is far different than the viewpoint of success in the Lord's eyes. And the world would view success for a lady today to have a high-paying job and a career that would make her equal with a man. Yet God did not create ladies equal with men. Men cannot bear children, and everybody could say amen, right? We could not do it because God did not create us to do it. First of all, we do not have the parts to be able to do that. We do not have the ability to do it. And yet we do not have, as fathers or as men, we don't have the talent to do it. I mean, we just don't have the ability for those kind of things. Ladies are created specially in God's eyes to bear and to nurture children. I can imagine, you know, I've seen stories and heard, you know, cows when they're giving birth and you know, I think, well, how could you imagine if men were trying to give birth? It would be awful. I mean, not only because it just doesn't work, we understand that, but even if it did, I mean, it would be like for months, we'd be just laying on the bed, ooh, you know, awful noises. Thank God that God created ladies. Ladies. I've told that story before, but the last time my wife had was pregnant, you know, she was going through her labor and that kind of thing, and she's like, oh, I don't want to ever do this again kind of thing, you know, how that works out. And the nurse came in and said, oh, honey, you're just God just made you to have babies. You're supposed to. And she wanted to hit the nurse, but she says, after 7, I guess they just thought it was pretty easy for her, but it wasn't. It was still difficult anytime you have a child. And so we look at some of those things here in just a moment. But we think about what does it mean to be successful as a mother? What does it mean to be successful? What does it mean? Does it mean that you have a successful career yourself? Does it mean that, you know, you make big money? You're equal with the men in your workplace? What does it mean to be a mother? My mother worked a little bit when we were young, but not very. We were actually, most of us were pretty grown up, almost teenagers before she started working. We were just talking about this yesterday, and I'm glad that she did. She worked for about 10 years, and she worked for the government, essentially, and because she worked 10 years, she ended up getting insurance for life, and so that's been a real blessing for her. You know, she has a good insurance policy because she worked, and so I'm glad that she did that. But I was probably 12 or 13, I think, maybe not quite that old before she started working. But for the most part, she was always there. And I look at my mother today as a success. I really do. I look at her as a success, but not because of what the world says, not because she had a high-paying job. In those days, she was called a secretary. Now today, it's a financial assistant or some fancy name. You know, there's some new name. You can't be called a secretary anymore. I guess that's derogatory or something. But that's all she did. She just answered phones and she, you know, took care of some paperwork and things like that. She wasn't anything fancy, but I look at her as a success. She didn't make $1 million in life. I look at her as a success because she was able to put up with me, you know, and she was able to put up with my brothers. If you'd met my brothers and spent any length of time with them, you'd wonder how in the world my mom is still alive today. How she didn't pull out all of her hair. Three boys. She never had a girl in the house. Three boys. She lived with us. There were four boys in the house. My dad was probably the biggest one of them, right? And she put up with us. And she served us. She fed us. She clothed us. She cared for us. She prayed for us, as the song just said. She taught us. My mom was one of my Sunday school teachers. Not only did she teach us in Sunday school, but she also taught us at home. She had a great task. The world may not look at her as a great success. Oh, they don't have a big fancy house. They live in a ranch house out in the middle of nowhere. Honestly, it's out in the middle of nowhere. Cell phone service doesn't come in very well. I was waiting on an email, and I didn't get it until a day later. And I got it the next day. I kind of like that, to be honest with you, but so email is actually snail mail too, you know, on top of the actual Don delivering mail. Email's about as slow out there as somebody delivering your mail. So, but the reality is she's nothing fancy. She doesn't wear fancy clothes. But in my eyes, she's a success. Because, not just because she raised me, but because she loves the Lord. And she tried to raise her children to love the Lord. For the most part, we're not perfect kids. There's no question about that. I'm not the perfect father. I'm not the perfect husband. I'm not the perfect pastor. Everybody could say amen to that. I have a lot of flaws. But she taught me to love the Lord. And she taught my brothers to love the Lord. And they still are in church today, too. They may not go to the same stripe of church that we may be. And they may not do exactly the same things that we do and have the same standards. But they still love the Lord. We get together for a fellowship, we still pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Because she was faithful to teach us. And I believe a lot of it had to do with this first point. And that is the M that stands for meditation. We look at meditation today as something that may be derogatory, I guess, because there are other religions that they focus on meditation. Well, it's a different type of meditation than what we are to meditate upon the Word of God. But I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 8 and 9. I would spend more time, but we don't have time this morning to be able to do it. I want you to consider a mother's meditation. A mother's meditation is to be on the Word of God. If her meditation is on her children, it's in the wrong place. Now listen to me. If her main focus is only her children, she's going to struggle. Her meditation needs to be on God's Word first, because without God's Word, she can never raise her children right. She can never take the next step. By the way, that happens with marriage too. If she is not meditating on God's Word, and if she doesn't love God first, she's going to have a very difficult time in loving her husband. A husband is going to have a very difficult time in loving his wife or his children. A pastor is going to have a very difficult time loving his congregation. All you have to do is look in the mirror and realize that's true, right? He's going to have a difficult time loving his congregation if he doesn't love God first. And if he doesn't meditate upon the Lord and his word first. Verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Mamas, you want to raise your children to grow up. I know the old song said, you know, don't raise them up to be cowboys or, you know, that kind of thing. But we know if you want to raise them to be successful and to be prosperous in life, you've got to raise them in this book. The only way to raise them in this book the right way and that way is for you to meditate in God's word. And I know there's times that my mom and my wife, and they spend time meditating in God's word. And I'm not here just to glorify my mom. I'm just using my mom as an example here today. Because I know that she spent time meditating in God's word. She spent time praying for me, Miss Laura. And she's just like your mama did for you, to put that song in your heart. I look at my mama today and I think, you know, I know she's meditated on God's word because I've sang some of the songs that she wrote. And I said, how in the world could you write a song like that if you didn't know yourself? How could you write a song like we sung last Sunday morning about Moses and about the three young boys and about life? How could you write a song like that unless you know it yourself? Because she meditated in God's word. You want your children to be successful, learn to be successful in God's eyes and in God's word. And the Bible says, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9 says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Boy, mothers, sometimes they bear a great load and a great weight. It says, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You say, this has nothing to do with mothers. It's all to do with Joshua. It has everything to do with every person that lives on the face of this planet today. If you want to see success and be prosperous, then it starts with your meditation upon God's word. We're studying Psalm 1. The Bible says in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he both meditate both day and night. You want to meditate on God's word, that's when you're going to see success. You meditate upon God's word and you're going to be able to prosper. Say, this M for meditation, this is all about mothers today. No, it's about you and I today. If we don't learn to meditate upon God's word, we will not be successful in God's eyes. And you say, well, in the world's eyes, I may be successful. But in the end, the world's eyes does not matter. All that matters is God's. We want to be successful. We're going to have to meditate upon this book and be successful. The second thing I want you to see about mothers and her work today and the things that she has to do is found in Genesis chapter 1. And this is her operation. What is a mother's operation? What is her operation? You know, in the military, they have different groups called special ops, right? You know, they got special operations, things that they're supposed to do. Can I tell you today, a mother's job or a wife's job today is a special operation. It's not what people think it is today. Most people today believe, and there might be some folks that don't even like this, not want to hear this today, but I'm going to tell you what the scripture says about it. Most people today believe that wives, it's perfectly, and I'm not saying that you can't have a good job, but that wives are supposed to be in authority, in a sense, almost today, over their husbands. That's not biblical. It's not, that has nothing to do with husbands being dictators. It has nothing to do with husbands being lords, in a sense, over their wives. However, we know that Sarah called Abraham Lord, and so I think there is a level of respect that should be there. A godly mother will respect her husband, because if she doesn't, her children will not respect her husband, nor will they respect her. If she loses respect for the chain of command that God has provided for, then there's an issue, and those children are going to see it. And so God puts us there as men to be able to lead, and then as mothers and as wives to be able to lead our families as well. But as we do that, God has given a woman a specific operation. Her operation is to support her husband. Boy, that's hard for some women to swallow. It really is. My job is to uplift, encourage, and help my husband do what he wants to do or needs to do. Not wants to do, but needs to do. Your job is to help him, to be able to be ready for work and to get ready for work and to be able to go to work, to be nourished, as they used to say in the Civil War, you know, a man can only march except on his stomach, you know? And so you're saying, Pastor, a woman's job's only in the kitchen? That's not what he said, but it's her job to help him, to make sure that he has what he needs, to encourage him. You know what my wife's job to do is? I was talking to somebody this week about this, and I'm going to shock most of you. Most of you are going to have a heart attack, probably. Do you know my wife's job is not to pastor the ladies of this church? Show me one scripture in the Bible where the Bible says my wife, as a woman, is supposed to pastor the ladies of the church. You know what her job is? Solely to support her husband. Now, in supporting her husband, she does help the ladies. There's no question about that. She's there for him. She takes him to activities. But that's not what her calling is. Her calling is to support me. If she's not supporting me, there's no way in the world she can support you. She has a great operation, though. Her operation and her responsibility, as the scripture says in Genesis chapter 1, is to be fruitful and multiply. And yes, I know my wife took that to the extreme, right? But notice what it says about a woman and what her responsibility is. God never says, do this, work a great career. It says in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, Genesis 1, verse 26, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God created us, by the way, when he says male and female, yes, we are of the same blood, but we are not the same. There's two. If we were the same and we're supposed to be the same, God would have just said, I created male, or I just created female, not I created both. He created us to be different. And you know what? The very thing that the world gets upset about is that we're different, we want to be the same, is the very thing that God is pleased with. I made them different so that they can be different, so that they can fulfill different roles. By the way, I could never fulfill the role that my wife fills. And she can't fill the role I fill. Not just because I'm a pastor and we don't believe in women pastors, but because she can't do certain things that I can. But I promise you this, without a shadow of a doubt, there's a lot of things I can't do that she can. Because God created us different. He created us to be different for a purpose. In verse 28 says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, go get great jobs, make a lot of money, and be famous in this world. It's not what it says. You say, Pastor, this is Old Testament. Nobody thinks this way. Nobody lives this way anymore. He says, be fruitful and multiply. You know one of our greatest jobs upon this earth is to provide the next generation with Christians. Because mamas meditate on the Word of God, they have their babies, whether 1, 2, 7, however many. We are to teach them. A woman's operation, not mine, but a woman's operation is to be fruitful and multiply so that the next generation has a generation of believers. And so that we can never say there arose a generation who knew not the Lord or knew not the works of the Lord. Her operation is to be fruitful and multiply. I have to be honest with you this morning. I worry about ladies who do not want to have children. I was seeing a young lady before, obviously long before I met my wife, and we had talked about some specific things, and she blew me away because she told me after we had been seeing one another for a long time, and she tells me, she says, I don't want to have children ever. And I've been sitting in church my whole life, and I've heard be fruitful and multiply my whole life, and I could not understand that. I couldn't understand why in the world she would not want to have children. And I'm not saying you have to have seven, but the reality is the Bible says be fruitful and multiply. You're supposed to have children. That's what God's created you to do. But yet the world has said, you don't want to do that because you got to take time off of work and you ruin your career. But the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. Now, let me ask you this morning, which one matters? The world or what the Lord says? We have some mothers that are here today. Some of you I know worked. You worked while you were pregnant. You worked while you had children. You had children home. I understand that. You worked hard. Maybe you had to. It's hard to survive without doing it. But God still said, be fruitful and multiply. He still said, be fruitful and multiply and to replenish the earth and to subdue it and to have dominion over it. We're going to be fruitful and to multiply. Her operation is to have children and to raise them. By the way, you say, well, I'm not able to have children. I don't know if there's anyone here this morning that's not physically able to have children. That does not mean that you are never to have children. You say, what does that mean? Well, you could, one, adopt if you could. I mean, you say today you're not able to do that. I understand that. You're too old to do that. I understand that. You can adopt them by physically adopting them into your home, but you can also, I think about all the mothers that I had in my church when I grew up. All these people like Chantel, you know, that just went around and all they did. Sometimes I think she's more of a mother than some of our mothers are sometimes. Don't take that the wrong way. But I mean, she's like pampering the little kids. And we're like, get over here, you know, because we've had them and we're so used to it. But she's like, oh, you want some crackers? Yeah. I'm like, don't give them crackers. They're being bad, you know. But because she loves them and she cares for them and she nurtures them. Can't tell me because she hasn't had any children, she's not been a mother. There's ladies in our church when we first came here. My kids have more grandparents than I've ever met. I never knew kids had so many grandparents. I'm like, how many times would we have like had to divorce and remarry to you to have all these grandparents, you know? It's like they got grandparents everywhere. They're calling everybody grandma. And we've had our family come up and they're like, why do you guys call them grandma? Because they've nurtured them. They've cared for them. I'm talking to Mrs. Fuller, and she's trying to figure out how to get birthday cards to my kids. And I'm like, who cares? You're sick in the hospital. You're fine. She's like, no, I got to send my daughter out to Walmart and get them something for their birthday. You know why? And I'm not going to stop her. Because she wants to mother those children and nourish them and encourage them and be a blessing. She says, I think I forgot the twins' birthday. And I said, no, you didn't. We got cards from you on the twins' birthday. She's sick and still sending out cards because she cares. That's what mothers do. They have an operation. And an operation is to be fruitful and multiply. And you say, well, I can't have that many kids. That's understandable. I've had this surgery or that surgery, and I can't do that. It's understandable, but that doesn't mean you can't teach other people's kids and encourage them. I didn't say go above and beyond them and do whatever you have, you know, what you think should be done with their kids. I said, encourage them and help them, help nurture them. That's what a mother does. That's what a woman does. They have an operation. I want you to notice the T this morning stands for tribulation. I suppose, mothers, you probably don't want to, but you all could say amen. How many of you sit here and say, you know what, my children, you don't have to raise your hand, but you say, my children have caused some tribulation in my life. Where's Paul at, right, Miss Linda? Like she's looking over, but Paul's not there. It's like, where is that guy? Talk about tribulation. And you say, well, we've never been through the tribulation period, Pastor. Well, yeah, it's coming. But you know what tribulation stands for? Severe affliction. You know how many mothers have literally been sick and to their stomach because of the way their children are living or what's going on in there? I mean, literally, they're so stressed because they're trying to care for their own kids and their children are a mess. They're stressed out because their children won't listen. My wife was talking to a pastor's wife just a few weeks ago when we were at a meeting that we were at, and she said, I don't know what to do. She says, my son, he just turned to be a teenager, and he says, I asked him to do something, and for the first time in my life, he told me no. And she was distraught. And I probably would have said, well, get used to it. My wife was like, it's okay. It happens, and you know, you just have to be patient with them, and you have to love them, and you have to encourage them, and you know, and gave her some Bible verses, and she was so encouraged after that, you know, because it may seem simple, but when your child says, no, I'm not going to sweep the floor, it's not what you expect to hear. And it tears you up inside. Because there's tribulation, discouragement. Tribulation means severe affliction or distresses of life. Distresses of life. I know parents, mothers. I know my mother. I had a brother who was wayward. There was a report. We still don't know to this day, but there was a report of a young man driving a car and possibly a drug situation, and they described to a T my brother's car. I have no idea. We never even asked. I don't know if my brother was involved in it. I doubt he was involved in the one part, but they said it was a very fast car. Guess what? My brother builds drag strip cars. My mom heard that report and knew that, and she just in her mind, because my brother was backslidden and was wayward, she was beside herself. She didn't know if her son was involved. We still to this day don't know. And maybe he wasn't, but the reality is he could have been, and it just tore her up because he was already wayward and out of the house. And I remember how hurt my mom was. And I remember when I started backsliding and rebelling against my parents and started rebelling against the Word of God. And I remember how much that hurt her. That tribulation that a mother goes through can sometimes be devastating. Sometimes, and I'm sure it has happened, where it's actually killed a mother because of what she's going through for her children. When your children, not only to imagine, those are negative things, but when your children, and it is negative when your children are sick too, but when your children are sick, you know what a mother says? If it was only me. I wish it was me. I don't want my child to be sick. I don't want them to be laying on a hospital bed. Can you imagine? And I honestly don't know what this is like. I cannot honestly imagine what it would be like to have a child with leukemia or something, and they're shooting all this stuff through their veins, laying on a bed at 1 or 2 years old or younger. You know what a mother does? If it could only be me, take my life. How much tribulation that causes in her life. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians quickly. We're getting there. We won't be too long. 2 Corinthians. Try to get your mothers out of here. I know some of you need to leave, but you got fellowships and other things going on. But 2 Corinthians, I want you to see this tribulation that we have in life. And mothers many times bear the brunt of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 1 through 5, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. You say, well, the Bible says here that who comfort us in all our tribulation. We haven't been through the tribulation period, but are there things in life that are turbulent and as tribulation to us? Of course there are. And parents face it, especially mothers. I don't know, sometimes we as guys sometimes kind of can seem, at times, not always, but seem like we can kind of brush things off and say, well, it is what it is or whatever, and move on. Ladies have a hard time with that, especially when it's their children. When it's their children, the tribulation that they face. I want you to consider that this morning. I want you to consider the H here this morning in mother. It stands for habitation. A mother's habitation. Of course, this could go along with meditation, but we're going to look at it in a little bit of a different life. Where does mom dwell? Her dwelling. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Follow along. These verses will be good for you, I promise you. Okay, if you can, if you got your Bibles, follow along. I'm almost done, I promise. I want you to see that a mother's habitation. What does habitation mean, Pastor? Well, it means an act of inhabiting or a state of dwelling or a place of abode. Where does mama dwell? Where does she abode? Where does she stay? Let me encourage you with these verses. Of course, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 are some of our favorite verses and verses that are quoted so many times. But I want you to focus your attention down to verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. By the way, that's a mother's job, and that's a father's job, and that's a human being's job. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Boy, sometimes mothers, and most of the time mothers, most mothers can just be the most loving and kind and compassionate people. Until you mess with their kids, right? Let a mother, a bear robbed of her whelps, you know. But for the most part, mothers are kindly and affectionate. They're caring. But I want you to notice verse 11. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This is every Christian, not just a mother. Rejoicing in hope. Here's that word again. Patient in a mother's tribulation. Mama, you may be going through it right now. Be patient. Be patient, but don't forget the last part of this part of the verse. Continuing instant in prayer. You say, where in the world's a mother's habitation? In her home? Does she belong in the kitchen? Get in the kitchen, woman, right? Where does she belong? She belongs, and her habitation should be in prayer to God for her children. Chantel, we picked on you a lot this morning, but you don't have children that you take home with you, although if you want a few, let us know. We got some we can spare. Thought about dropping a couple of them, just leaving them at grandma's. I said, we got a few we don't need. Well, that sounded bad, didn't it? You may not be able to take those children home with you, but you are taking them home with you when you pray for them. See, that's a mama's habitation. Her habitation is when little Wilson goes off to school, mama's home praying for him. Help him to learn, help him to grow. Mama's habitation was when those boys start to grow up, Miss Suzette. You're trying to get them out of the house, right? Sometimes you can't get them to leave. When they get out of the house, mama's habitation is in prayer for those kids. Those boys and those girls, whoever they are, mama's habitation. That's where she dwells. A mother's prayer. Laura just sang about it. A mama's prayer. To be continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. You know what? That's what a mama does. I love this. I've never went one home one time where mom said, don't come in. Now you say, if you have problems with your kids, maybe. Usually when I come home, my mom doesn't really want to see me. She wants to see the grandkids. She's had enough of me. But she still lets me in. She feeds them first, but she still feeds me. She says, you want a cup of coffee? I'm like, I don't want a cup of coffee, but if mom wants to give it to me, I'll drink it. Yeah, I'll drink it, mom. Mama cares. Mama prays. Her meditation, her home, it's open. She's given to hospitality. She cares for her children. Sometimes my wife and I will be ready for bed, and we'll be laying in bed and just about ready. My eyes are about to go in the back of my head. Mama, can I come in? Like, what do you want in this room? Get out of here. You know what mama says? Yeah, come on in. I'm trying to sleep, woman. So mama cares. And sometimes every once in a while, one of them will come in with tears in their eyes. Mama, I'm having trouble. Mama prays for them. Mama cares for them. That's what a mama does. It's her habitation. I want you to notice the E. Stands for education, mama's education, how she prays and she educates her children. I want to read just a verse or two out of Deuteronomy chapter 11. Her education. And mamas, don't you know it, that education never ends. What is it, Miss Suzette, about, you know, teenage boys? The older they get, it seems like the dumber they get. You know, it's like you had to tell them 300 times. And I'm not talking about your boys. Your boys are really smart, and you never have to tell them more than once. And they just got it, and it's right here. It never goes away. Like, sometimes I look at Alden, and I say, what are you thinking? And then I have to remind myself, that's the way I thought when I was his age, you know. Deuteronomy chapter 11, I want you to see a verse or two, just quickly. It's a never-ending battle to educate our children. And I'm telling you, folks, you know it. Mamas, you know it. You have children that are in their 30s and their 40s like me. You're still seeming like you have to educate them. And you say, I did it right back then. What in the world's going on? They still need mama. They still need that education. They still need to understand and see and know. And I want you to notice, I don't have time to read everything here. I had more verses that I wanted to read for you. But it says in let's look at verse 19. It's talking about the word of God once again. It says, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations. Of course, talking about the children of Israel and getting the wicked nations out of there. But today, you and I, if we would just continue to teach, and it's difficult sometimes when you've told them 30 times, but I want to encourage you to keep educating. A mother is all about education. It's all about teaching her, about training. It's all about teaching and training and encouraging in the ways of the Lord, and also passing on the ways of the world, not in the wrong sense. You understand what I'm saying? Passing on the things of 2 plus 2 and 4 plus 4 and all those kind of things. I would tell you what those add up to, but I don't know, so I'm not going to do that. Moms know, though. They come to Dad and they say, Dad, what's this? How do you get this answer? I said, I don't know. Go ask Mom. Mom's job is constantly to educate. To educate. And then I want you to notice lastly this morning, the R stands for reputation. A mother's reputation. Today I want you to notice Luke chapter 1. And we'll close here and I'll be finished. Luke chapter 1, I told you we'd read a few verses about Mary. We're going to read a few less than what I even said we were going to read because of time-wise, but I want to finish this up for you and just give you these points of a mother and how special she is. A special mother will meditate in God's word. A special mother will do her operation. A special mother will handle the tribulation and will deal with the tribulation. A special mother will have a habitation of prayer, a place of prayer. A special mother will educate. She will educate. But a special mother this morning has a reputation, a godly reputation. I want you to notice what the Bible says about Mary. In the sixth month, the angel, in chapter 1, Luke 1, verse 26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Wow. What a reputation. She had a reputation before God, or a testimony before God, that she was highly favored. We could go on and read more and more about Mary and how God wanted to bless her and how she followed the Lord in this portion of Scripture, but we find that she is favored of God because she has a godly reputation. A mother that has meditation in the Word of God will have a godly reputation. A mother that does her operation will have a godly testimony and reputation. A mother who bears her tribulation and the things that she, the stresses and the afflictions that she faces will have a godly reputation. A mother who has a habitation, a place of prayer, will have a godly reputation. A mother that educates her children in the things of the Lord will have a godly reputation. God chose Mary because of her testimony. And a special mother will have the reputation of Proverbs chapter 31 that I don't have time to read. And Mom, I would encourage you to go home if you get a moment to yourself today. A moment, quiet, alone. Take Proverbs chapter 31, the second part of it. I believe it starts in verse 11. And read through there. Might be verse 10, but read through there about what a virtuous woman is all about. Her reputation. The Bible says her price is far above rubies. A godly woman. Mama, you have a great responsibility. We applaud you for what you do. We encourage you in what you do. We try to edify you and lift you up to be able to do what you need to do. I promise you, nobody ever said it was easy. And if they did, they're gravely mistaken. To be a mother, a godly mother. It's work. It's a challenge. It's day in and day out. It's continual habitation. It's continual meditation. It's continual feeling that operation. It's continual, sometimes it seems, in tribulation. It's continual in education. That reputation just might be enough that someone else might see your testimony. I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism. However, I do believe that we ought to have a good lifestyle and we ought to live right if we expect people to ever want to come to the Lord. Your reputation just might win your children to Christ. Your reputation might just win, and your fulfilling of being a mother might just win your grandchildren to Christ. When your children are so wayward and they're not even taking their kids to church and they could care less about church, your reputation and your hard work could be just what the doctor ordered. Mama, keep serving God. Keep being the mama that God wants you to be. Dad, maybe it's time you start doing some of the things that mama needs to do and is doing already. Teenagers, maybe it's time you start doing some of the things that mama does or should do. In fact, it's not maybe time, it is time. It's time to start living as God would want us to live. Teenagers, you know what? You can say, what about education? I can't teach anybody anything. You got friends that need Christ. You can educate them on their behalf and on your behalf and on the Lord's behalf. You can tell them about Christ. You can be a godly example. And by the way, you can be a godly example by obeying your parents, which is something a lot of teenagers don't know a whole lot about today. Learn to be thankful for your mamas and daddies. Listen, folks, teenagers especially and young people, there's some people in here that don't have their mommies and daddies anymore. They're not with them anymore. If you want to learn a little bit of something, maybe you could ask them a few questions about it. What's it like to not have mama or daddy around? It's tough. Because mama's a godly example. Dad was a godly example. He was my helper in life. He did so much for me. You ought to cherish your parents. Thank your moms. We're going to have a time of invitation here this morning. If you have a need, I encourage you to come, especially for salvation. I can't think of a better gift to a mom today than someone trusting Christ as Savior.